This is a production of Cornell University.
Looks like the time is 12:15 and we have quorum, so we can go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Hey, you'll take roll via the screen, all that good stuff. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting? All right, I see a couple of hands, Herf and Brian. So, sorry, a lot of noise here. All those in favor of approving the minutes from last meeting, just hit yes. Anybody no's or abstentions? All right. And the meetings are, or the meeting minutes are approved. Chris, did you have a, I need to make a motion to add your resolution to the agenda as a late addition to the agenda. Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Sure. I would like to motion that we add the consideration of EA Resolution 10, the recognition of Cornell University's senior leadership and their bold and decisive initial response to the COVID-19 pandemic, to today's business.
All right. So moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Brian, and the resolution is added. Let's, if nobody objects, I'd like to do the resolutions in order. So let's add that as item 3 under business of the day, and then we'll proceed onward from that. So all the resolutions are heard in order. And with that, let's move on to business of the day. Brian, if you want to go ahead with resolution 7, the bereavement policy.
Resolution 7. I took everyone's advice and changed the one part in the "be it therefore resolved," or I believe it was line 43, from maximum to minimum. And I guess with that, I'm looking for a motion to move it on.
Any discussion, questions, comments? Or motions.
Is it called a question, Adam, to vote?
No, nobody can make that motion. Right now we are open for discussion or motion. So if somebody would like to move the previous question, then they can. All right, looks like Karen, or are you asking a question?
I move to suspend debate and vote on the amendment.
All right. The question has been called.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of resolution 7, please indicate in the with the yes, no button in the chat pod or the participant pod. All right. It looks like 20 members voting yes, 21 voting yes, none voting no. Congratulations, Brian, your resolution has passed.
Thank you, BPC, for all your help.
Job well done, everybody. Good work on it.
Love everybody.
Yep. All right. I'm going to clear everybody out, and we'll move on to resolution 9, inclement weather. I'm sorry, I don't have who's the chief sponsor of this down. Carrie, is that you? You're muted.
Yeah, I guess it's me. I can go through and introduce it. I want to first say it was sort of like a hurry up and wait situation, and then just a plain old hurry up and get it done for this meeting. So I apologize for not having the document in the box earlier. So I guess I was thinking I'll share my screen. Let me just give you guys the link in case you don't have it. Oh, Chris already did that. There we go. Chris is the link master, apparently.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to share my screen and we can just follow along here. It's a long one. So, I don't know. I guess I'll just go through it, and then we'll just move into questions and comments and stuff. Does that sound good?
Okay. Yeah, please proceed.
All right. All right. So is this going to be like a little bit of a, I said to somebody else, a blast from the past, because it feels like this was ages ago. So you might actually appreciate some of the detail in here, because it does feel like a long time ago. But this resolution is a response to the university's handling of the snowstorm that hit early February. The purpose of it is to establish the timeline, document what happened, and establish the impact to employee welfare in particular, and then try to move into a call to improve the policy and the decision-making criteria and communication specifically. So a bunch of us worked on this, you can see that. And we met a couple times, at least a couple times, with the Employee Welfare Committee. And so the where we start off here is just some background information, pulling from various annual reports. I think it's pretty interesting to know that 62% of the staff live outside Ithaca, 40% of them have a regular commute of 20 minutes or more. TCAT is a really critical part of our operations, and we, Cornell, are critical to TCAT, actually, because 70% of TCAT ridership is associated with the university, and per transportation, roughly 16 to 18% of staff use TCAT bus service to commute to work. So we're just sort of establishing some background here. The policy that governs the way the university handles inclement weather situations is policy 8.2, inclement weather, and environmental health and safety is the office responsible for administering that policy. There's also a supporting document that provides more of the practical details of how inclement weather situations are handled, and that's the Cornell inclement weather FAQ. So we have some background here. I think what's really key, looking at the documentation, the university's documentation about inclement weather, is that their scope is very narrow, in the sense that when they're deciding whether to change the operating status due to a winter snow event, they're really looking at the campus itself. How quickly and easily can campus be, can the snow be removed? Can the sidewalks be cleared? Can they keep up with that? And there is, you know, as I said in here, there is a designated weather watcher that is tasked with monitoring regional weather conditions. But when it comes down to the decision making, and this came out in some of the remarks by administration during the February storm situation, they're really focused on the campus itself. And what we're asking, or what we draw attention to, is that because we have staff that are coming from so far away from outside Ithaca, in addition to students and visitors potentially, the impact of inclement weather really requires a broader scope, looking more at regional conditions and the ensuring that people can travel to and from campus safely, not just around campus safely, although the latter is very important, obviously. Brian knows that, right, Brian? so just some background information here, and then I'm not going to do a super close read of this, but in this middle section here, we have a lot of whereas clauses, but it's essentially establishing the timeline for that storm as it was sort of percolating, and what weather advisories there were, in the case of this particular event, there's really no way anyone could say this snuck up on us is what this establishes. So just setting the timeline here, we had all kinds of briefings and alerts, travel advisories. and then we're also referencing some regional peer institutions, Ithaca College and TC3 in particular, who have some interesting and I think, you know, good model policies for snow closings. Both of them take into account, both of them provide sort of a schedule of operating status decisions. And they specifically note that they're taking into account the shift start times for staff. So in one case, it'll say in an evening, if a storm is coming through in the evening, we will make an announcement by 6 p.m. or something like that. And that's so that people can get to their shift or not, or know what they need to do. And I thought that was really informative or instructive, and I hope that the university will take a closer look at that. We also had TC3 in their policy includes limited hours for dining service. So just including those as examples, and those two institutions made much earlier decisions in both of their cases, at midnight for Ithaca College, and very early in the morning for TC3. So I think it's just good to have a comparison there, because in contrast, Cornell staff were all thinking they had to go to work the next morning. So and then we have, again, more of the timeline, TCAT suspending service in the morning, which didn't resume until 3. Key point here around line 88 is that what we found when we looked at the stats for the CU Info Alerts page, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's where we collect alerts for Cornell alerts and operating status changes, special conditions, road closures, and all that. And we pulled some stats on that. And I'll just to show here. This is Thursday night, I believe. Yes, this is Thursday. Now, normal traffic for this alerts page when nothing's going on is it's Deadsville. There's nobody coming to this page, basically, because it's really a page people check when there's something going on, right? And so I have actually here a comparison to the previous week where there is nothing going on, right? So this is Thursday night before the storm. And so you can see traffic starts ramping up around 6 o'clock and starts into the evening and peaks out at 9 p.m. where people are wondering what's gonna happen for tomorrow, right? And then similarly, we have, that's not what I want. Where is that? That's Thursday. I'll find it. And then on Friday, we see it starts to ramp up very early in the morning for the early shifters, right? Wanting to know if they have to come into work. And what's interesting in this traffic here is that it's not until we've gone through Thursday night, and it's not until this point that a single message has gone out from the university. So we have approximately, on this one page alone, 7,000 page views where people are checking this page probably repeatedly in anticipation of an announcement that did not come until after 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's hours after our regional peers had closed. And so I point that out just because a lot of the chaos and confusion, I think, was due to a lack of communication. And we haven't seen that in as pronounced in other events, I think, but there was a Thanksgiving time closure where again, it was the communication and the decision-making was delayed. So I think I personally felt like it was important to raise this issue and document what happened. Just moving through here, the announcement is made. The university ends up amending its pay guidelines, as most of you know, I'm sure. And that's where we leave off with sort of the background information. And so getting to the meat of it, what we're saying in this resolution is that we disapprove of how this was handled, essentially. It was dangerous. It left people stranded, left some of the most vulnerable parts of our staff community, especially impacted, because they're the ones that have accessibility issues, can't get around campus as well or as easily, or they just aren't in the position to be able to take a day off, use HAP leave, or aren't in the position to work from home. So that's where we start with this. And we acknowledge and appreciate the special amendment to the pay guidelines. But what we ask in this resolution is that Cornell do several things differently, I guess you could say, when weighing whether related operating status changes, specifically ensuring that all staff, students, faculty, and visitors, especially those with accessibility issues, can navigate campus safely when the university is open. We were in a situation that Friday where there was just too much snow on the ground, wasn't getting cleared. And it was a late decision to close. The university needs to consider travel conditions to and from campus in addition to on-campus conditions, taking into account regional indicators such as countywide storm warnings, travel advisories, status of bus transit, and widespread school closings. Now, we're not trying to say that if Ithaca School District closes, then the university has to close. But when we talk about a widespread total regional whiteout, right, of a snowstorm, that's when it, you know, I think there are certain flags need to be raised there. We ask for the university to be proactive in communicating to staff so that we know at least that they're looking at something and, you know, when to expect a decision or an update, to adhere to a schedule for making those operating status decisions, like our peers, that are aligned with shift start times, and to align with the operating status of the child care center specifically, because we had issues where the school or the university closed midday, and even though people were advised to stay put and not travel because the roads were so bad, the child care center closed at 1:00. And so everybody that had their kids there had to travel anyway and go get them. Then we follow up by asking Cornell to take steps to raise employee awareness of inclement weather protocols. Just people, it seems like, could use a sort of operating status 101. So familiarizing employees with the different statuses, publishing more detailed decision-making criteria. This came from Brian specifically, who, wants to be able to have a sense for whether we're looking at a closing or a delayed opening, and be able to give advice to his staff to clarify what it means to be classified as essential in this context, and to require supervisors to establish emergency work plans with their employees, so that each employee knows what's expected of them in this situation. We also asked Cornell to incorporate remote work options into its inclement weather policy. And I think that hopefully that will be a lot more of an easy win now, since a lot of us have been doing it, giving particular consideration to whether travel to work should be considered unnecessary travel if the employee can in fact perform their duties remotely. We have a lot of people who in the past and in this situation could have worked from home, but their supervisor didn't allow it or just didn't give them the option. And so addressing that, asking to strengthen communications with TCAT and coordinate transportation planning in the event that bus service is suspended or our operating status changes. We're getting down to the end of it, I promise. Providing room and board for essential staff who are required to report to work in inclement weather so that they could, for example, come maybe the night before, so they come before the storm starts, or if someone is stranded due to situation we had in February, that there would be accommodations for those staff as well. And finally, we look to environmental health and safety, who are the sort of the owners of the inclement weather policy, to work with campus partners to conduct a review of weather policy and procedures, considering the impacts on employees, and make recommendations for improvements. And we're asking them to do that and provide a report to this body by October 15th.
Whew. All right. Thank you for that robust and well-researched resolution. Really, it's a lot of work clearly went into it. Thank you all for working on it. Questions, comments, or motions? Brian, go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for laying that all out like you did, Carrie. Very nice. Two things. I was hoping that, I don't know if you're allowing friendly amendments to the resolution or not, but I was looking at two areas where I thought a friendly amendment, just to make it the longevity of the amendment last longer. Mm-hmm. On article, on line 85, behind TCAT, put parentheses, the area transit provider. And then on line 143, we want to say transit providers for campus, because in case TCAT changes its name, I don't want that to get lost.
Okay.
So I'm thinking of making those friendly amendments.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. On another note, I was wondering why on line 112, we went with condemn instead of disapprove.
Okay, oh. Just real quick. So we need to do those things in order.
Friendly amendments will do.
As long as nobody who is a sponsor objects, we can consider your first suggestion a technical correction amendment. Which
for line 85?
Yeah, those things can be approved by unanimous consent as long as there are no objections. So would you like to offer that as an amendment, Brian?
I would. For line 85, and do I do each line separately? Adam?
No, it's just one technical correction.
Line 85 and line 143 amended as I proposed.
Are there any objections to that or questions? Those seem to be very technical in nature. Rigel, do you have a question on the amendment?
No, I just have something after this.
Okay, all right.
Brian, are you?
Okay, sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay, so 85 and 143 is the same thing, basically, you're saying, in parentheses? Okay. All right. And then 43?
143.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Got it. Never mind. Gotcha. No. I wrote the wrong thing.
It's just putting transit provider there in case that changes its name.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Since there are no objections, we can say that that's approved by unanimous consent. You said you had a question.
And the other question I have is why on line 112, we went with, we didn't go with disapprove. Instead, we went with, trying to remember what it was.
Condemn. It's a very strong disapproval.
Yeah.
I think
that might have, can I say something, Carrie?
Go ahead.
I think, Brian, that might have come from the GPSAs or the SAs condemnation resolution.
Very good. I wasn't sure, but I'm fine with it. I just wasn't sure.
They use that language as well, yes. And I think we made some changes earlier on to take some of the emotion out of it. But I still do feel, and I mean, I'm open to whatever the body feel, whatever this group feels consensus wise. If you feel more comfortable with different language, I personally feel very strongly about it. So that word maps to how I feel it was handled. But I'm definitely open to feedback. I mean, does anyone else have a reaction to that language?
I'd like to, we can circle back to it if people have more questions on that.
Oh, okay.
Rigel was next up in the queue.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Rigel.
Yeah, so I just wanted to propose another technical amendment on line 157. Just to include the Office of Emergency Management along with Environmental Health and Safety. They're two separate entities now. And I know EHS is listed on the policy, but the Office of Emergency Management does a lot with the inclement weather. So,
okay. So it would be a one and the other?
So it's currently just listing the Department of Environmental Health and Safety. And I would just include the words and Office of Emergency Management before that comma there.
Carrie, do you see any problem with that as a technical? Okay.
No.
So moved. Does anybody, is there a second? Okay, it looks like Brandon. Unless anybody has any objections, that's also, yeah, it just seems based off of overlapping responsibilities to be a technical amendment, and it is approved by unanimous consent. Any other questions, comments, or motions? Would anybody like to make a motion to approve? Brian, go ahead.
I move that we approve the amendment as been corrected.
All right, the resolution, motion to, the question has been called on the resolution as amended. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Rigel. All of those in favor, vote yes in the participant pod or no. By the way, abstentions, like how the UA did it. If you abstain, you can use the raise your hand function when we're voting, and we'll count that as an abstention. That seemed to work pretty well in the UA. All right. Looks like 21, I haven't voted. Okay, 22, 23 voting yes, none voting no, and the resolution is approved. Congratulations, Carrie, and the entire committee and everybody who worked so hard on this. It's a great, great resolution. Good job.
Thanks. I just wanted to make sure, did everybody feel comfortable with ending debate on that? We were good on that?
Yeah, unanimous. Okay. I called for any opposition.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
And Carrie, if you can send me the amended version whenever you get a chance, so I can send that to the president instead of accidentally sending the wrong one.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Chris, you are up with EAR 10.
All right. Hello, everybody. Let me make sure I got this going. Carrie, can you unshare your screen so I can share mine? Thank you. So this resolution is a resolution that is basically written as a giant hug to the administration for really doing a superior job and leading in higher ed in our area. And if you look at the numbers of Tompkins County and how safe it seems that we are from how this worked versus the rest of the nation, it really took them a lot of effort and coordination very fast to make a decision on March 13th to send everybody home. That was a lot of consideration about what travel was going to be like for people that, you know, the students as well as for the employees. So through the Employee Welfare Committee, we discussed and reviewed this resolution, and it made sure that we got the name spelling all right of the people, as well as actually using the technical terms of whether it was COVID or coronavirus. So starting really on line 9 here is, and it's not very long, so I'll read it to everybody. Whereas the COVID-19, the disease caused by the 2019 novel coronavirus, created an unprecedented public health and safety situation across the world and an unprecedented reality for all of us, both personally and professionally at Cornell University. Whereas the senior leadership took the threat of COVID-19's impact on campus seriously and worked urgently to review emergency plans, make decisions, and take decisive action to prioritize the safety of the students, the faculty, the staff, and the community during a rapidly evolving situation. Whereas we are amazed at how adaptable and quick to respond our leadership has been in making massive changes for all of our protection in such a short amount of time. Whereas the communication through multiple channels was clear, frequent, compassionate, and transparent as possible during these developing realities, and the Cornell Coronavirus Updates website has been immensely helpful and useful resource. Whereas the creativity and flexibility shown by the senior leadership has helped to reduce anxiety for staff with quick creation of new accommodations like, but not limited to, 10 additional health and personal days with new usage guidelines, access to new online training programs through CU Learn and eCornell, and increased visibility and access to counseling and support services. Whereas the decision to give faculty and students and staff 24 days between the suspension of classes on March 13th until the start of virtual instruction on April 6th to take care of themselves, their families, as well as prepare for the transition to virtual instruction was hugely beneficial to a successful restart of the semester. Be it therefore resolved, and we specifically as a committee decided we wanted to really shout out the president and Mary Opperman here. Everybody has been super important, but these two, with all of the things, we put them up at the first part. The employee assembly wishes to formally recognize and thank with the utmost gratitude the following individuals: President Martha E. Pollack and Vice President and Chief Human Resource Officer Mary G. Opperman for their commitment to the safety and welfare of staff. And then resolved, this is the list of all of the senior leadership that we have from like what would be considered the president's senior leadership or cabinet. And it gives them all of the titles as well as all of their full names. And then an additional feedback from the committee was to make sure these other groups, and I'll read them out loud. So resolved, the employee assembly wishes to also wishes to formally recognize and thank the deans, the vice provost and academic leadership, the office of the provost, the office of the provost for medical affairs, the office of emergency management, the incident leadership team, the incident management team, the emergency support function team, the research continuity group, and the college safety leadership group. Be it finally resolved, the Board of Trustees receives a copy of this resolution and that everybody should keep up the good work. This is specifically a resolution defined here in the title as the initial. So there's been a huge amount of awesome things that have happened for all of our staff, our essential staff, A lot of really, you know, anything from mask making to finding PPE and giving out things. And all of that is other work that I believe is really important for us in the assembly to recognize in potentially other resolutions. So that is why this resolution specifically is about, in the very beginning, our university leaders really were worried and put safety first for everybody at the forefront, and took fast action so that now here we are in, I want to say it's week 10 of working from home or being away from campus or whatever we're doing. So that is what the resolution is all about, and I welcome your thoughts.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Good job. Thank you for all the hard work on this. We'll entertain questions, comments, or motions at this time. Bueller? Anybody? Chris, you can make a motion on your own resolution if you'd like.
Like to
there we go.
Make it. First, just commend Chris for the awesome work on this. It was a lot of work to get all the acronyms figured out, who everyone was and what they were and all that. So thank you very much for putting that out there so folks had an opportunity to do that, and tremendous work on that. So I would motion that we end debate and move to vote on this amendment. This
question has been called. Is there a second? Second by Robert. All right. All those in favor, yes, no, in the participant pod, or abstain by using the raise your hand function. All right. If all voted to wish, looks like 21 yeses and one abstention. So congratulations, Chris. Your resolution is passed. Thank you for all the hard work. And if you want to send me the completed one or the finalized one, whenever you get a chance, it'd be great.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you all so much for all the great work. Sorry for all the road noise. I live on a busy road. Okay, so thank you all for all the great work. I mean, these are amazing resolutions to be passing. I appreciate all the work that went into them and the ability to get them done at what normally would have been our last meeting, but we are not technically necessarily at our last meeting, which is what the next item on the agenda is that I want to briefly discuss. And summer work sounds kind of ominous, you know, next steps. Obviously, as you all know, we're in interesting times. Mm-hmm. We don't know the status of campus reopening. We don't know the status of the public health situation as it progresses. We don't know the status of a lot of things. And as we discussed during our last meeting, we would like to at least continue having a presence in some way, shape, or form so that we can continue this leadership role that we've established throughout this crisis. The executive committee met last week, and we batted around some ideas as to how that might functionally look going into the summer, because at the same time, we don't want to just necessarily waste anybody's time if for a particular week we don't have anything going on. Staff forums, they are at the availability and the willingness of the leaders that take part in them, and they usually follow news, so things like that. But we wanted to put the question to all of you as to how best to sort of air quotes schedule meetings over the summer. And we can do it one of two ways. We can not put anything on the books or on the calendar, and we can just say that meetings will be scheduled at the call of the executive committee. And you will have my commitment that the executive committee will try to give you as much time as possible before scheduling a meeting. Of course, this is a fluid emergency situation. There have been times whenever a staff forum has happened literally, you know, the following week after we got some news. So I can't necessarily guarantee perfect 2 weeks beforehand, but we're going to try. The other thing is that if you all have resolutions or work or initiatives that you want brought to the full EA, it would be best, you can reach out to the executive committee anytime and we'll try to find a good time to schedule those things. The other thing that we can do is that we can put meetings on everybody's calendar, and then basically we'll do it the other way. We'll cancel them if there's nothing to work on. Both methodologies get to the same end. You know, it's just what you feel is most appropriate. Now, the other thing I want to mention is it's important to remember that we are entering a new term. Our terms have been, and Jessica, correct me if I'm wrong on the way the resolution was written, but our terms have been extended into a new EA term year. Okay, so if you have a resolution, it starts over as resolution one for the 2020-2021 term. Same thing about all these things. So it's just it's not a big deal. It doesn't logistically change anything for us if we do stuff over the summer. It's just a point I wanted to make. So, and again, if you have things that you want brought up, resolutions, great initiatives like the supporting essential staff or whatever, you know, we can schedule meetings as work fills our plate. But what do you all think about those two ways? Do you not want to schedule? Do you know, how do you feel about this? Doing anything over the summer? Questions, comments, or we can even take a vote on the two methodologies, but we wanted to put it to all of you before just going ahead and putting stuff on your calendars or leaving everything in a vacuum. Any comments, questions?
Adam? I think it's great that we're able to continue working, because there's a lot that will be coming up in the coming months with the reopening of campus, and a lot of topics that we want to be here for the employees to be able to voice concerns and questions about. So I think it's extremely important that we remain active and doing meetings. I would advocate myself that we maintain our current sort of schedule that we have in line, and obviously with the ability to adjust that and amend as needed.
It looks like through the chat that's pretty much the how everybody feels. And then it has another advantage in that our meetings are open, so when we have them on the calendar on the Office of the Assembly's website, people can drop in and, you know, attend our meetings, and, you know, they can expect them. Laura, did you have your hand up? I'm sorry. No?
I'm going to concur. I like having it on the calendar so that I don't have to schedule around it. I mean, it's easier just to have it there.
Okay.
All summer. Have it canceled if we don't have anything on the agenda.
Perfect. So what we can do is that this is our last meeting of this term. So that shouldn't be confused about anything. What we'll do is we'll ask the Office of the Assemblies to schedule meetings on everybody's calendar at the regular 2-week intervals throughout the summer. And then if there's nothing on the agenda, if there's nothing going on, if we find out that a bunch of folks are busy, we can cancel as that occurs. The only other thing to remember is they may still get moved around if we have staff forums, because the leadership team always likes to host them, us to host them during the lunch hour. And sometimes that has occurred during our meetings, that you all know that. So it's still a possibility that things could get swung around, but for the most part, we will stick to the regular schedule. And, you know, I there's so many things I want to say about this past term that I can't put into words as to how amazing you all have been, and how much it's meant to so many people that I've talked to, that we're wanting to continue our work into the summer. So thank you all so much for all of your hard work. It's been a great year. It's not ending, but I thank you so much for everything. It's really been an interesting time, but a well executed, really, really great year for the EA. And I want you to know that we have had so many people at so many levels commend the work that you all have done. So thank you. Does anybody, a couple more points about summer work, by the way. The executive committee will still be meeting to plan things as we normally would with regards to the president's address to staff. And we will probably convene as to whether we're gonna try to do some sort of retreat or not. Maybe it'll end up being a virtual one, I don't know. But these are ideas where we have to continue on regular planning as though we were starting a new term. So when it comes to, if you hear things about staff development day, what that might look like, or, you know, different employee events, we are marching forward. So however we can be involved or support staff, we're gonna do that as our regular planning over the summer. Does anybody else have any questions on that front? Comments, objections, anything like that? Okay, all right, well, thank you everybody. I'll ask the Office of the Assemblies to put the meetings on our calendar as soon as they can. Let's move on to item, what is now item five, our new retiree appointment from Human Resources. As you all know, it has been past practice for HR to nominate a retiree appointment to fill the dual seats that are staggered for that seat. Herf will be leaving us as his time concludes. Before we get into our new appointee, I want to thank you so much, Herf, for your service over this past term and beyond. It's been amazing from my point working with you. I know the same can be said amongst everybody else. Do you want to say a few words before you head off into the sunset?
Yeah, thank you a lot, Adam. It's is it too loud or are you okay?
No, you're good.
I have to tell a very quick story. When I retired in 2016, Michelle Arteby was working on having exit interviews, and at the end as a test. And at the end of my interview, she said, "Do you have any suggestions?" And I said, "Yes, I've noticed that the retired staff has no representation in the Cornell government." And she went to Mary, and Mary said, "That's a great idea," and put it forward. And she said to me, if it went through, would I do it? And I said, sure. And she said, well, we have a new president, so it'll take several weeks, maybe even a couple of months. Don't worry about it. And I said, great. So 5 days later, she called and said, your first meeting's tomorrow. So I've enjoyed doing this and being involved at this level with the campus. And the two people who will continue, Sue Berry and Ginny, will just, I think they'll really do a great job. And I wish I could have been more involved, but it just didn't work out that way. But everyone on the EA, I admire all of you, and I'm thankful for the university that they have you. So.
And Herf, if this were a regular meeting, I'd walk over and shake your hand and give you a hug, and I can do none of that. So it's you know, I wish you, please don't be a stranger. You know, you come by all of whenever we're back in person, or whether it's digital or whatever. I thank you so much for everything that you've done. It's been a pleasure and an honor. So we're all digitally clapping. I see that. So. So I would like to turn to our new appointee. You know, I was going to say Virginia, but do you prefer to go by Ginny? I just want to make sure.
I usually am called Ginny.
All right.
Either is fine.
So Ginny McCauley is our new appointee joining us. Ginny, would you like to say a few words of introduction and hello, and I'll leave the floor to you.
Sure. Hi, everyone. Listening in on today's meeting, it sounds like a very busy and active and thorough group, and I think I'm really going to enjoy working with everyone. My retirement was just this year in January, and coincidentally, January 22nd was my last day, and I keep seeing that date on all the charts of US COVID cases. So it's been a real quirky start. I had lots and lots of things going on, and I actually found that I didn't have time to work anymore. So I had no option but to start, you know, off on my own ventures and have completed quilts. I've taken up quilting and I'm just got in today from biking before the meeting. I have tons of stuff that I want to do and enjoying it immensely. Highly recommend it for anybody who's even remotely thinking about it. And then having this opportunity to actually stay involved in the campus because I was there for 35 years in the same department, which is mechanical engineering. And it was just such a rewarding career. It was just such a great place to work. And so it's nice to stay tuned. In fact, I'm actually, you all have gone home and working remotely as much as possible. And I'm actually back on campus with the Cayuga Medical Group making surgical masks. As sewing is, you know, another strength of mine and something that I do enjoy. So it's kind of quirky that it's a complete flip that I'm back on campus and all you are not.
Well, welcome. We're so thrilled to have you. I can't wait until we can all actually be sitting around a table in a real room on campus together. But with that, I would like to make a motion to approve Jenny's appointment. Can I get a second, please? All right, seconded by Hey Hey. All those, please vote in the participant pod.
You're not alone, Jenny. I'm on campus too.
I'm sorry?
I was telling Jenny, you're not alone. I'm on campus too.
Oh, are you?
We do have a few folks on campus. So congratulations and welcome. We look forward to having you join our ranks and, you know, reach out. I encourage you to reach out to other members. Everybody is an amazing resource. They're the best resource you could have is another EA member. And we'll hopefully all be able to get together soon. So welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to committee reports. Hey, you want to go ahead with the executive committee?
Hi, everyone. So me and Carrie are working through compiling all of the questions from all the forums, and we're going to tag them. We're going to provide reporting on them, and we're going to hopefully be able to share that report with everybody and also with senior leadership. So they can get a sense of what those questions are. I know that in the past, some members indicated they might want to revisit some of the questions and provide some answers. So that'd be interesting, but we're not going to force anybody to answer anything. But I think it'll be really helpful to kind of know where, you know, all the concerns are sort of, you know, clustered around and maybe use that information moving forward. So that is in progress right now, still working through resources as we transition into the next executive committee, whenever that is and whatever that looks like, but we're still working on resources to assist with that transition. So those are the things that we're working on as we're going to schedule more meetings in the upcoming weeks. If you guys have any topics or if you have anybody that you would like for me to invite to an EA meeting, feel free to get in touch. If you maybe want to hear from Cornell Health or if you want to hear from, you know, any of the units online facilities or whatever, send any recommendations to me and then I'll try to put that on the calendar. So that is my update.
Questions for Hey. Seeing none, let's move on to communications. Carrie?
So again, not much to report, I'm afraid. We have slowed down a little bit, I guess, posting-wise. I do still think we have enough steam to give us another newsletter if we want to do that, either end of month or early June. You know, we could highlight the resolutions that have been passed and all that. But we have a meeting coming up, I believe, next week. And my plan is to tackle that outline for upcoming communications. That's all I have to report at the moment.
Questions for Carrie? Seeing none, I forgot to add with our little summer work next steps discussion. Committee chairs, please feel free to schedule meetings or work as you see fit. It's up to your discretion. You may want to reach out to your members to see what projects or what ideas they have, but feel free to schedule things as you choose. It's at your discretion.
I have a comment.
Yeah, please.
I think if you do put out a newsletter, it's an excellent opportunity to tell people that the EA is staying in session over the summer, so that
good point.
Many people are very excited to hear that.
Oh, you know, one other thing that I'll leave it for Christy to mention. Never mind. I might just be helping her at her committee with another initiative, but I'll leave it for Christy.
All right, great. Let's see, we got Marcy, Education and Development. Go ahead.
Hi.
I'll be right back.
I went away for a second. I'm back now. Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. Education Committee hasn't met, unfortunately. Work has been keeping me pretty busy. But yep, so hope to have a meeting soon, but nothing recently.
All right. Any questions? Seeing none, move on to employee welfare. Christy?
Hello. We've had a meeting just earlier this week. Lots of concern and discussion around the CARE Fund. The concerns about rising domestic violence reports and how that may impact CARE Fund applications in the short term. The CARE Fund is very strapped, it continues to be. There's only been one COVID-related request, but they're anticipating that will rise. So we've discussed partnering, Carrie and me, developing an initiative kind of proposal to share with the Faculty Senate, and that could serve as a template for units to take to their deans or vice presidents regarding the CARE Fund, maybe Cornell Faculty Care as kind of an attempt to raise the balance there. We've also continued discussion around some of the resolutions supporting, previously supporting the circulator, this inclement weather policy, the leadership gratitude policy. And one of the committee members is advancing the Weill Cornell staff gratitude resolution, which as we continue in the summer, we'll be able to bring forward. Transportation has provided an update that's posted on the COVID website FAQs, but the parking pause is extended through May 31st. And they are currently evaluating enhancing pedestrian spaces for the fall, which would potentially allow partial street closures such that there would accommodate social distancing in some of the heavy corridors. So we're going to be discussing that with them as that proposal develops. There was a question, a concern that the weekly wellness updates that are being developed by HR aren't making their way out to the staff. The way that the wellness office works is there's wellness liaisons in each of our offices. And they're relying upon those agents to push the wellness updates out. And they're getting, it says I'm muted. Am I muted? No. They're getting inconsistent feedback about whether staff are receiving that or not. So Carrie and I have chatted about potentially if there was a way for us to tie it to the Employee Assembly social media posts, but also that the ask from wellness was that membership reach out to your HR office and encourage the distribution of that email if it's not happening. I think that's all. If anyone on the committee has anything else to offer, please do.
All right, any other questions, comments? Seeing none, thank you, Chrissy. We'll move on to Brian, Employee Benefits Committee.
So we haven't had a meeting since the last one. The last one meeting, we talked about inviting Amy Parmley from Gigs to give a presentation and had some questions. And I sent out an email and I'm waiting for a response from her. But that's about it. Everything else is quiet.
All right, any questions for Brian? Seeing none, Jessica, elections.
Just a brief update from us too. We have our second non-EA member for the membership task force. That's J. Francis White from the SC Johnson College of Business. So we're now fully staffed and meeting every week and doing research in between meetings.
Questions for Jessica? All right. Seeing none, we can move into open discussion. I don't have any other updates on, I guess I'm going right into it. I don't have any other updates on staff forums other than to say I continuously receive feedback from multiple different people that they're appreciated, that they're driving up a sense of community. Carrie, you sent out that thing about new employees to all the members, correct? I got another request from Linda Howell today that if they would really appreciate it if any of you feel like making those videos for new hires, as you saw from the message Carrie sent out, the new hires have missed out on a lot of the normal in-person orientation, campus community development type things that they would have access to. So this is kind of a connecting our new hires with Cornell type of thing. I sent in my video. I should have sent an apology probably with it, but because I haven't had a haircut in 2.5 months. But otherwise, that's all I have. Karen and then Ellen. Karen, you first.
I was wondering if anyone has any information to share about how we're coming back to campus in the fall, if we're coming back to campus in the fall.
I think, I don't know if anybody else has any insider information that I don't, but I believe the reactivation committee reports and then also other public health knowledge would dictate that, but I haven't heard of anything. Does anybody else know any information on that?
I got a small update earlier today from the director of EHS. The BA update on research and operations to the Cornell community coming soon since when it last Friday. And other than that, that's it. So
I got a small update this morning as well, which is very similar to Rigel's, is that right now it's certain areas of research are going back, but it's very specific areas of research. It's not campus-wide research. And that they're really looking to these subcommittees to do extensive research on all other areas of campus before they're committed to making any kind of decision.
On that note, so as of tomorrow, I'll be fully staffed because I have all those research buildings that they outlined. Four of my buildings are coming online and we're supposed to prepare them and germicide them and get them ready for a possible people coming in as early as next week for essential research and research. So, so we're going full steam ahead.
Ellen?
Hi, I wanted to say the initiative to welcome new Cornell staff. I have no interest in making a video. So I did some still photos and I sent them in and they were very grateful to receive them. So that's just another option I wanted to mention. If you guys don't want to do videos, you can send them still photos and they were very happy to receive them. And then to answer Karen's question about returning, I work in the research division in Weill Hall and our custodial staff is full-time as of today. And they've already disinfected most of our unit and marked the offices. And our director is talking about returning as early as next week or June 1st. But of course, nothing has been confirmed by the university yet. That's all.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that the new hire initiative would take anything, you know, because they're putting together a nice like package of stuff. So that's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Ashley?
Sorry, I already went. I jumped ahead. My apologies.
No worries. You're fine. Doing the best we can over a virtual meeting here. Marcy.
Yep. So the vet college, the hospital's been open all time. But I just came back back into the office on Monday. I was coming in once a week. And so the hospital is full time, but I don't know about the rest of the vet college. There's been no word on that. I think they were looking at it again June, but we've been having like weekly town meetings and stuff, but we'll wait and see.
Chrissy, I saw your question in the chat pod. Is Laura or Jen still with us to give an update on the CJC campus code of conduct?
I'm here, though I don't know if I'm the best person to give an opinion. The UA met, when was that?
That was
last week?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it all blurs together, you guys. And it was a very interesting meeting, but I think in the end, and Chris or Adam were both there, the vote was to take the two drafts that were submitted and move them forward to Council and President Pollack for synthesis and then redistribution for review. And then it would go to public comment.
And there was and Chris or David, feel free to jump in too. There was an amendment added and adopted to ask that the final proposal be brought back to the UA for review. Most people voted, I can't remember the exact vote total. Most people voted for it.
It passed.
Yeah, it passed pretty much overwhelmingly. A few people dissented. I abstained. Chris, David, did you have anything to add to that? It was an interesting meeting.
Yeah. I mean, it was not a great example of shared governance. The whole year of the UA not using the rules, everybody tried to use the rules and no one knew how to use them correctly. And luckily, Adam actually knew about how sort of these things worked. But I think, Adam, you also did a really good job at that meeting of stating why your opinion on protecting the work of the committees and things. It was one of those things where a lot of things all showed up at the same time and trying to figure out a way to move forward together, even in the face of things not really working out the right way. And I tried to explain it to the students because they were like, we had our own proposal and, you know, we're allowed to have our own opinion. And they said, we did all this outreach. And it was like, well, you did all this outreach to everybody except for who was in charge of doing this. So like, that's not like the best outreach. You did get a lot of really good opinions that maybe we didn't get access to, but like, you know, we're one email or walk into one of the 25 meetings away. So it was one of those things too, reminded me, and I stated it in the meeting. It was like our elections last year at the EA, where like we sort of, a lot of things happened and then we sort of realized that we didn't actually technically have elections. So, you know, the UA didn't get the vote to submit the CJC's proposal because the president already read it and commented it on it in the papers. And then that put everybody in a weird spot because we didn't like really get to take action. And we had a timeline, I guess, is the ultimate thing there. So in the interest of knowing that the code was not working well, that there were a bunch of parties involved. I think, Adam, you did a really good job of defending the employee and the work of the people, because it was really one of those things of like, well, why do we bother doing all of this work if in the end someone just shows up and says, hey, I did something too, and then we just go with that. So it a little bit of a mixed bag, but I think the president, you know, we achieved our objectives. The president read the thing. It has a lot of the considerations. It's going to be considered to merge together. And then it was Andy from the GPSA said, hey, before whatever this, a lack of a good term, Frankenstein is going to look like, can we at least get a chance to vote on that before it goes into play? But it's very similar to shared governance is, you know, we're making recommendations. This, our recommendations go to the president then pushes it up to the board. So people were going to act one way or another. And I think we did achieve our objective of getting our voice heard in that way. And so thanks again. Sorry, definitely if there was hard feeling for some of the people, because I really thought about it too. And was like, I can't be really happy for Laura and Jen if their work is not being recognized. And I couldn't recommend somebody, just like you mentioned, Adam, spend more employee time on things that sort of just get shanghaied or something along those lines.
Well, one thing. Yeah,
I was just going to say that the piece that I thought was really interesting, and for anybody that ever wants to be on this committee, I'm happy to talk to you about it. but I talked to all of the undergrads after the UA meeting, and undergrads that were on our committee all year that I had worked with all year that didn't speak up about how they truly felt. So there was definitely some levels of undergrads didn't feel like they had the confidence to speak in that room, because then they all backed the student assembly version. So where were your voices? I could have used the help. I'm the dissenter to everything we put forward. I could have used the undergrad help through the whole thing, but they didn't speak up. So I think it's a good lesson to them too on the right way to do something, but also to me and to the other people on that committee to really make sure that we're intentional about encouraging their voice, because they were the same people that were fighting for the SA version of the code that were in the meetings all year. So it was like a little bit maddening, but it's a good lesson to everyone. And I'm happy to turn my role over to anyone who's interested.
Regardless, I want to thank you and Laura. You guys did a great job. It was an amazing amount of hard work. And yeah, it was, you know, the meetings, the UA are recorded just the same as ours. So I believe so, at least you can view them online if you want to get an interesting thing. You can see me hold up my Robert's Rules book and all that stuff. It's fun. Virginia, Jenny, did you have your hand up a little while ago and I missed it?
I did. Somebody else was speaking about the same thing. I think it was about returning to campus.
And okay.
I've talked to people in the dean's office for CALS, and they've actively been approving essential research. You know, they're so it's so complicated with research. People have grants and they're supposed to be using the money and they're not. And they have had sort of emergency approval of research to continue. So I don't know about the endowed schools, even though that's where I worked, but it's kind of been ongoing. There have been approvals happening, and so people are real geared up. They also have to practice still social distancing. They have to have PPE. This is some of the things I've heard from the state. And sanitize on their way into the lab and on their way out. It wasn't specified, but I think that has a lot to do with not putting the extra burden on the custodians, that, you know, the extra sanitation required and the precautions taken. But there are people on campus, and they are going to, of course, it's everybody's dream for the fall to happen. But if they don't start kind of slowly over the summer months, you know, nobody, and we can't predict that really either. I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes to make it happen if it's possible. And that's the part that's still the big unknown.
Thank you. Chris, for 2 minutes.
Throughout there, Ellen connected me to the Research Town Hall, since that is a group that I represent. And financially, they had said that the last year's fiscal year is seemingly going to be the same as this year's fiscal year. So just as sort of the idea of the business of the university is going on, like they're not seeing funds be withdrawn. And safety first is their number one concern across the things. But even in those town halls, somebody had a building and was a high level director of like a computing place. And then in that meeting realized like, oh, wait a minute, I don't need all my people here. So if you guys need space, I can make them work from home and you guys can have half of my biotech building or something along those lines. So those kind of collaborations are still happening. And I thought just to make sure that people understand that, you know, it's not like the money is going back out into the ocean. Like there, things are still happening.
All right. Thank you, Chris. With that, we are out of time for today, but I will, we'll be seeing each other soon, presumably in a couple of weeks. So more to follow. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Hey, seconded by Jenny. All right. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.